Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the...
So, we got bored during quarantine and we started a podcast.
Podcast brought to you by Dinocorn TV. Good to be back, Hamesy. I feel like we should begin with like an opening as to what Dinocorn TV is for those who are just boredom in quarantine fans.
I think so, because I was like, oh my gosh, you just said Dinocorn TV on the podcast. So excited, because I'm really excited about this.
I love that you're so like, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just gonna let Emma do it.
Okay, fine, I can talk about it.
No, I'm just messing with you. I can talk about it. You want to talk about it? Go on then, you talk about it. And then we'll see if we agree. Maybe we object.
Finally.
The moment is here.
So I'm going to probably go around the point as much as I can before I get to the point. So good luck.
Traditional Hamesy.
Basically, Dinocorn TV is our idea of... is a platform for all of our online entertainment.
Our broadcasting channel.
And we are going to be doing... Can I talk about the other stuff we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay. So it all started with the idea of doing an online morning show.
Yes.
And this has been brewing for the last month as well, as long as I was trying to finish that darn animation. So we were also chomping at the bit, you know, like a racehorse waiting for those gates to open. We're like, yeah, we're going to get started in this. But Sarah has to finish this task. Okay. So then finally it happened and now we've started working on it. And so we'll be having a morning show on YouTube.
Yes.
Every weekday. And we will also, obviously we're going to continue boredom in quarantine.
How do we leave this podcast behind, this quality podcast behind?
Absolutely. We cannot do this. And I feel like there's other stuff. Oh yeah, we do live shows. We do live pub quiz shows, and we will be adding other stuff to the mix, which, you know, you kind of have to keep up to date on our... Can I say it?
You can if you want. I don't think it's through there that you keep up to date, though. I think,
okay.
Well, basically, you can find us at Dinocorn, Dinocorn_TV. So Dinocorn is in Dinocorn underscore, which is like that dash thing that's at the bottom that no one ever uses. TV. And you can find us on Instagram, you can find us on Twitch, which is where we do our live streaming, YouTube, where we do our morning show, and we also have a Patreon, where you could support us if you want to. If you enjoy these podcasts and you want to give a little back, you can go over there, and you can get a load of I'd say free content, but it's not free when you pay for it. So a load of other content which is updated almost weekly. I think we have some stuff daily, some stuff weekly, some stuff monthly. So much content you can get on there for such a reasonable price. You should totally support us because we're artists and no one else does. So yeah, you can find us over there. But yeah, Dinocorn TV is our new broadcasting system. Yeah. It's exciting. We're moving into the online world and we like it.
Yeah, it's really exciting because all of a sudden it's kind of like, oh, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And you start figuring out the setup and the live stream and it's I'm quite excited.
I mean, one of the huge benefits of being on Patreon, for example, which is something that I'm obviously very nervous to see if anyone will support us because I totally understand, you know, the idea of a monthly fee for something is rather unnerving, especially if you don't know the people.
It's quite a commitment.
It's a big commitment. But one thing that's very exciting about it is that could grow to be a platform that would help sustain us, you know, with the studios and the work that we do. It would allow us to suddenly be able to produce things that we want to produce. Not that we feel like we have to produce because, you know, we need to be able to pay the bills. We need to be able to do this, that, and the other. We could actually just go purely with our gut, allow ourselves to absolutely embrace our creativity. You know, there's so many things I want to do. Like, I want to do the Poker Face live show, which is such a nuts idea, but at the same time, you know, I think there's something there. The kind of Holmes versus Hamesy thing. But they're all things that, you know, we would never do for a live show because you can't sell it. You can't sell it. You know, we've always had to, not by personal choice, but we've always had to do things that we thought we could get a crowd to. One, because obviously a show without a crowd is completely pointless. Two, because the performers deserve to be seen.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the most important one for me. And then also we have to try and, you know, stay afloat, which is not an easy thing when you work in the arts.
Well, we still need to kind of try to stay afloat.
Yeah, we still have to try. No, but currently, but I'm saying that with time, if that Patreon was to grow to be able to support us, we'd be able to do more and more things.
More and more wacky things.
Yeah, basically. We'd allow ourselves to...
We might get Alexa to just, you know, that AI to just read us a thesaurus word.
It's not thesaurus.
Oh, thesaurus, sorry.
My goodness, you're never going to get that right, are you?
No.
But yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting time. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, on to the stuff you're here for. The great boredom in quarantine content, which of course is brought to you by our random word generator, which is Sarah with a thesaurus. That's quite hard to say. Sarah with a thesaurus. Sarah with a thesaurus. You try and say it.
She sells seashells by the seashore.
Wow, if you only got the words right, that would have been perfect.
Sarah with the thesaurus. Sarah with the thesaurus. Sarah with the
getting
thesaurus.
Getting more and more
thesaurus,
like you
believe. Okay, fine. Random. Random. Random word generator.
We've decided that this song is appropriate also for this process.
Can you hear it?
I'm sure they can. I'm sure it sounds ruder than it's supposed to.
Save
ten. Stop. Stop.
Furnish.
Furnish. Oh, how sad.
Right. So.
Read the definition.
In this case, the verb. And then it gives you an example immediately. And basically, it's talking about decorate, to fit out, appoint, provide, stock, supply, store, provision, outfit, equip, fit up, purvey. Please tell me to stop.
No, just keep going.
And then the second division, they'll be able to furnish you with the details, equal supply, give, offer, provide, present,
all right, reveal. Enough. Oh,
thank you.
Okay, well, the first thing that comes to mind, of course, would be, stage setup.
Ooh.
Yeah, that would be the first thing that would come to my mind. How would you call it when you set up, I've lost my words.
Here, there's a thesaurus for you.
That's no use, is it? It's not a dictionary. What's the word when you furnish a stage? When you...
Stage setup?
That's not what I was going
stage
for.
Stage building.
No.
Stage decorating.
No. There's an official term for it, which clearly neither of us know. Which, again, is the theme of this podcast. Neither of us know anything.
But I do know someone who would. But then that would require time.
No, there's not.
And they live in another time zone. This is awkward.
Let's finish there. Anyway, so, yeah, there's a whole process of the setup of the stage, the props and so on involved, or even studio setups too, also pretty accurate. What was I going to say? You've now lost me with all your attempts at doing things.
I've given you synonyms for the word that we don't know.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
But I was thinking a good topic of conversation would be, especially as we started out with Patreon and Patreon supporting us, I think it would be quite funny to talk about how we've bodged everything we've done so far. Because the one thing we've bodged more than anything, it is props.
Absolutely.
And I am a great believer, because I think you see this a lot with not just theatre, with a lot of things, where people are like, oh, we can't start because we don't have a financial investment and da-da-da-da. We have loved to have any financial investment when we started, but we always found ways around it. Let's talk Halloween show. The ultimate bodge.
We basically slowly went hoarding cardboard boxes from the grocery stores.
Yeah.
So lots of the grocery stores will keep some of the boxes for you so that if you forgot your bag, you could put stuff in there and take it home. I slowly started hoarding because we also live in a town where we just move everywhere with bicycles. So it was as much as I could carry on the bike, basically. Yeah. And this was like a month before the show. Slowly hoarding boxes because the cardboard that was going to be harvested from this was going to be vital.
Yeah, basically we made everything out of cardboard. Yeah. Cardboard, duct tape, and bin bags.
And paint. We painted. Oh, it's also toilet paper for paper mache.
Oh, true. Did we do paper mache? We didn't do much
for the first one.
By comparison, we did it was mostly cardboard, duct tape, and bin bags.
There were some masks. And
yeah,
hands.
That's true. Yeah, okay. No, we did quite a lot of paper mache too.
Yeah,
but we made
and lots of hands,
ourselves.
Lots of people helping.
I mean, the great thing with Halloween is that everything that kind of looks a bit bodge is also kind of works for the scary aspect.
It's kind of the look of Halloween, isn't it? It's kind of a little decrepit, little old. There's a spirit invading it. You know, if it looked pristine, it wouldn't look Halloween-esque. That would be an interesting concept, because a Halloween haunted house that, you know, has this like super clean, you know, like a super modern style design house.
Yeah.
Like a glass house. And then somehow that's the haunted house. I feel like that would be such a mind twist. Because it's not what you would expect in a haunted house. You always think old Victorian houses with all these big houses and like gables and stuff on them. You don't think of it like a modern, sleek looking house.
No, that's true. I don't know how you'd make it. I mean, a glass house would be kind of an interesting concept at the best of times.
I don't know, because modernist or contemporary,
yeah, there's boxes, a lot of... Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like super empty, like minimalist.
It's like, I can see from here to the other side.
How can something possibly scare me?
Yeah.
I'd definitely find... I think you could be scared easy peasy.
Well, I'm sure I would be scared. I would see a tree moving in the wind. I'd be like, oh my gosh!
Yeah, it would be kind of funny to see what that, you know, what that would give as a haunted house.
I think they have done kind of like suspense movies in these kind of environments, but like regarding like somebody calling and like, and then you find out that the caller actually is in the house or something.
Oh god,
like
that's terrifying.
Yeah, I never watched it, but I was told about it. I don't even remember what the name of the movie was.
What a surprise.
I'm keeping in theme.
I think my biggest disappointment from COVID was that we didn't get to do the latest Halloween show.
Yeah.
And I think the idea was, because we'd had such a good one in 2019, was the idea of like, okay, upping this year, we should theme it. Because we never actually themed it. And someone had mentioned it on the night, like, oh, it would be cool if we could actually kind of make it into a theme. And we made a maze structure. I don't think we get enough credit for that. But because if anyone knew the work that went into it, the troupe who put the work in is, you know, incredible. But we had what... It was all hung from the ceiling on a string
very precariously mesh. in a freshly new renovated room. So you didn't want to leave a tape mark on it.
Yeah. And then we had like, you know, it was all bin bag walls. So we had
to make it black.
And then they had to walk through this kind of creepy maze. And there was three performers in there, 3 to 4 performers, depending on where Marta was at any point in time. And then like a three kind of staged like...
Scenes.
And I was really looking forward to having a bigger theme, because we kind of accidentally had a theme, because we had 2 people who came up in lab coats, and it turned out to be we'll make a waiting room, and
yeah,
they had the whole psych eval and stuff, but it wasn't really super thought through, and then they just went into the maze, and but it worked perfectly. But then I remember afterwards we were all talking, we're like, we should theme it next year and do that. But there's so much work. I mean, bodging is fantastic if you want to like save money, but you have to have time.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that you need time to scavenge, time to build.
Yeah.
And then set up and everything, and hope that you have enough bodging tools with you to bodge everything in place.
What I do think it helps with is that I think if ever I got the chance to direct something that had a budget in it, I think it would give me a lot of ideas of what to do with props, with stage, like the backing and so on. Because I mean, you watch things like pantos and theater pieces, and I always find it fascinating to look at how cleverly they use the backdrop. Because obviously you're not in a film where you can have, you know, 50 scenes in different locations.
Yeah.
You're in a theater where you have to basically pick.
And everybody's looking at you all the time.
Two kind of scenes, and you kind of have to be able with lights and with creative thinking to make them look like multiple different places.
Yeah. With just a simple shift.
Yeah.
That you can do on the spot without disrupting. What do they call the term? Like, you know, the suspension of belief that you're in the moment, in the place of the story.
Exactly. You don't want someone running on and pushing a chair off.
Yeah, and kind of going like, oh, that's true. It's not.
It's theater.
It's not real. It's theater. You don't want that. So you, yeah, that is something. It's an interesting challenge to see how they do that.
Oh, yeah. No, I great admiration for it. I think, I mean, how much do you think the stage, you know, the way the stage looks plays a part in how enjoyable the show is?
I think it's a big part.
Me too. Because I think of Carmen, like our watching of Carmen. I mean, we bring up Carmen all the time, but We watched the National...
The Royal Opera House.
The Royal Opera House.
From the London.
From the London, that one.
From the London.
Yeah, so the Royal, we watched the Royal Opera House, one of their interpretations of Carmen, and it was basically a minimalist stage. It had these rather impressive-looking amphitheatre steps.
Yeah, it was all steps.
But that was it. That was all they had. It was
all black.
And it's such a shame because it ruined it for me because the... It was I loved the protagonist. I loved Carmen in that one because she was basically badass business bitch.
Yeah, in a torero suit.
In a torero suit, like she was great. But then everything else just lost all its punch. So that was down primarily to the setting. It's really irritating that I can't think of this word. What the stage setup is. I want to Google it. Speak.
Scene art. Okay. But yeah, it was, I mean, I think it had a purpose, the scarcity, the sparseness of that scene, because it made you focus incredibly intensely on Carmen or on whoever was on stage at that moment. That is true. So it was...
Stage design.
Oh, there you go.
I think that's closer at least. We'll go with stage design.
Okay. So I can appreciate that. But it's just...
But there was something like so magical frills. About seeing it in the... admittedly, it was in the theatre compared to in the cinema, which makes a big difference in itself. But we know that there's a big difference there. But then it was so magical watching it in the theatre with this huge moving building in the middle of the stage that the building split in two.
Yeah.
And depending on which way... Like, how angled the various sides were, you had different locations from it. Like, it was ingenious.
Yeah.
And just that enjoyment of just appreciating that. And you were completely... It didn't suspend belief at all, even though you saw it moving in front of you.
You were just going like, whoa, that thing's opening into a prison, or it's closed into a prison, or now it's a
city.
It's
not always a prison.
I don't know. I was trying to remember which side was the prison. But anyways.
The prison was closed.
And
then it opened up into
the
a street.
Village or something.
Yeah, the village. And then it had like a parallel version, which was also... And they had another version with the bar.
Yeah.
It's so many different things. It was so cleverly done.
Yeah.
That stage design, and I think it makes such a difference. And also panto, like, it was kind of interesting. We watched...
Maybe you should explain what panto is.
Pantomime is a... I don't know what it is classified as.
It's a type of theater.
It's a type of theater, yeah. It's I think only... I think... I hope I'm not offending anyone when I say this, but I think it's a very English thing. And
I think it's a British thing.
But it's a type of theatre that happens at Christmas time, and kind of December, January. And a lot of there's a lot of improvising in it. Most nights the words aren't the same. They do have a script, but the lead female is usually played by a man in drag, and it's all about interacting with kids, but it's so much fun for everybody.
And it's usually like a known story. Like
famous stories. Jack and the Beanstalk, Peter Pan, all these like big famous fairy tales and so on. Snow White, they're all a big part of it. And then you have a baddie who keeps appearing, and it's about interaction a lot of the time.
Because they'll get the kids to help, like, oh, give a clue, like, when the bad guy is here. Or, like, you know, so you're, like, heckling the villain, and you're cheering on your hero. And that's something that I love. Like, I haven't experienced a live one. I've just seen, like, on TV.
It's amazing.
I love the idea of the... Because you kind of join with your audience.
Definitely. And that was... I think that's kind of... It's so hard to describe, but it's also... It's super caricature-like.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's kind of... Everyone's in, you know, the man in drag is always kind of a big buxom woman wearing the most ridiculous outfits. Like, it's fabulous. Now we got one of the benefits of COVID is we got to watch two of the same.
Yeah, the same story.
The same pantomimes, but very different approaches to them. One of them was a much more modernistic approach. So it's called Dick Whittington, which is not a famous story, I think. The only one that you're kind of like, why would they have chosen that one? But it's the story of a man who basically is so good-hearted he deserves to be London mayor, and but currently Queen Rat is trying to be London mayor and getting all the votes, and it's a bit of an odd story, and he's helped by his friend Tomcat, it's a kid's story. It's very interactive, and we saw two of them. We saw kind of what would be considered a traditional pantomime, and then a much more modern approach to it, which
and
was,
also COVID proof,
and it had to be COVID proof, which made a huge difference.
So everybody was very apart.
Everyone was very apart at all moments of time. They did a marvelous job considering they were trying to keep everybody apart from each other, and we're talking actors as
even
well,
even the performers, not just the audience.
Yeah, not just the audience. We're talking actors too. But you got to see them in different setups, and I definitely preferred the setup of the old style of pantomime with the kind of super busy stage and so on. But I really enjoyed the modern one. I love the colors of it and how they had done it, but it didn't compare to having those sets and those kind of weird,
super
really
opulent
weird sets.
It kind of makes me think of like that kind of set, the old fashioned, makes me think of like when you go to or you see the pictures of Versailles, or you know, these old castles which are super richly decorated with the marbled pillars and the ornate windows, and you know, it's like a super loaded decoration. It's kind
of
like
it's
that
the opposite
versus
of minimalist.
Yeah, exactly.
It's minimalist versus whatever is maximalist, I guess. Whatever you call the opposite of minimalist. But that doesn't take away from the performance, because it just changes it, because I think I preferred the dame, as we would call her, in the modern version.
Yeah.
But I love the comedic character they had in the old version. Yeah, it just kind of changes it. It's incredible how, that's what I love about any story, is how it can be interpreted so differently. And it's one thing that, ironically, I think movies do really badly, is they don't reinterpret. I think it's too dangerous because it costs too much money. But, you know, Superman and Batman, they're always kind of the same. You could take a completely different route. I mean, look at Deadpool. Like, Deadpool, if you look at Deadpool in the sense of all superhero movies have been done the same for ages.
Yeah.
Deadpool was really just a completely different interpretation of a superhero movie.
Yeah. And a lot of people were so happy. Like, I remember hearing guys going, oh my gosh, Deadpool, like, it was just such a, like, it almost felt like a visceral reaction to it, like, it was so refreshing.
Yes.
That he was such a different character.
That is very true.
But yeah, you never know when it's going to pay off, so I guess.
No, and I think that for the movies, it's such a big risk, whereas for theater, especially small theater, there isn't so much of a risk. Doing it differently will make you stand out. It may not be liked, but it will make you stand out no matter what.
Yeah, and the worst case scenario is that if you do well, then, which is not the worst case scenario, it's the better case scenario, but, you know, you get more money and then you can pimp it up a bit more and keep that different interpretation.
It's a much more natural balance of things, like a more natural growth of things than you would have with the movies, which is usually all or nothing.
Yeah, it's like a big risk and...
But anyway, on that decisive point... and us discussing stage design in and out, it's time to call it a night.
Already?
It is time to call it a night. So if you would like to follow us, you can most certainly can. You can follow us on...
Facebook at Boredom in Quarantine. Actually...
Dun, 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 dun! Go on.
We're streamlining! So,
we are streamlining.
So because we are only two human beings and with only 24 hours in the day,
and we tend to use them all,
like to sleep as well...
Sarah does.
I do, yeah. We are cutting down on our social media, so we're Boredom in Quarantine stuff will be found in our Dinacorn TV Instagram.
Yeah.
And so if you want to keep up to date and find out what kind of behind the scenes stuff we're doing, feel free to follow us at Dinacorn TV _ TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dinacorn _ TV on Instagram. That's the place to find us. You can still email us at boredominquarantine@gmail.com if you want to.
Yeah.
We're still waiting for our first email.
And we're still on Anchor FM, so that'll stay the same.
That will stay the same. So, thank you very much for listening. We have been the...
So, we got bored during quarantine, and we started a podcast.
Podcast. Until soon.
Bye-bye!